Music Podcasts.
Hi guys, welcome to Learn Kenyan Law with Wanjiko. I am your host, Wanjiko Mwangi.
Okay, thank you so much, Wanjiko. My name is Kennedy Rothi, working in an allied company in Boston Airport, but also an LLB student at Mount Kenya University.
Great, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you. And as we know, you never know that you're going to have an accident until you
Absolutely.
Permit. So which kind of liability regime do we have in the aviation industry here in Kenya, especially when it comes to accidents and liability?
Okay, thank you so much, Wanjiko, for that question. First and foremost, accidents are never planned for. You just don't wake up and say, today I'm going to get an accident. Because there's a process as to which, before we reach to that level of accident, maybe there's some negligence or something missing, a loophole that was overlooked, and you didn't see the consequence of it, so that an accident can happen.
Yeah.
And when it comes here in Kenya, the Ministry of Transport has a department,
mm-hmm.
Which is called the Air Accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And in that department, it deals with all incidences and accidents that happen within the Kenyan jurisdiction. So any accident or any incident that happens that has to be reported, the Ministry of Transport has that department. And it's fully equipped with people who are well trained by the government to handle such matters. However, mm-hmm. also the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority, they have specialists who deal with matters to deal with accidents and incidents. So, let's say for example, an aircraft has crashed somewhere in a hill. You remember, there's an aircraft that crashed, may the soul rest in peace, in Mandera, and they were transporting national examinations papers in Mandera.
Mm-hmm.
So, in such an incident, the Ministry of Transport, the Kenya Civil Aviation, the Kenya Police, the company itself, and which other body? The DCI. They will conduct a thorough investigation on what really transpired so that accident happened, you see. And that accident, those accidents are always recorded by the Ministry of Transport. Even if you go to their website and look for there are accidents, you will see it. Now, once they've done the investigation, of course, the ministry has done its investigation, the Kenya Civil Aviation, they've done the investigation, and also the company has done its investigation. They need to report all these things to the public, and not also the public, to the family, because the family needs to understand. Now we come to the liability part of it, because most of the time you will see when an aircraft crashes with people, one of the natural causes will be maybe weather. Remember the Cameroon Kenya Airways flight that crashed, and due to the, let's say, the pilot's negligence, he saw the weather was bad and decided to fly just like that, because killer number one of air transport is weather. So all these factors are kicked in when you're doing your investigations. How was the weather? What was the cause of the accident? Because we have a black box in the aircraft, which clearly records every single thing that happened inside the aircraft. Now, once that is done, now we come to the liability part of
mm-hmm.
it. Because these are human beings, these are lives that are lost. Now, how do you compensate them? You see, which is a very crucial item in the aviation industry. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the last time we had a very serious accident, you remember the Ethiopian Airlines 777 MAX that crashed. Majorly, most of the people who died, not all of them have been compensated. Some of them have, some of them haven't been compensated. And it depends with the insurance the airline takes, because with the insurance that covers. And that is one among the key reasons when we talked about the consumer protection, is you need to be covered. You need to assure the passenger that you're going to arrive at destinations with when it's safe and secure and with your peace of mind, because people fear the air. They think anytime they embark in an aircraft, what they think is, if this aircraft goes down, what happens? You see, what kind of the last breath am I going to see? But far to eat, it's very safe. One of the safest means of transport is the air transport. Now, when it comes to liability, how companies come with whichever formula on how to compensate families, it varies. You see, it will vary depending on even the insurance company that you've taken, because I see most of the airline companies in Wilson and Kenya and domestic flights, that is, they take ICA insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it's easy to know how the compensation part is done.
And even before we continue any further, let's talk about the type of accidents that we have in aviation industry. Mm-hmm. And one that I've heard you talk about is the weather.
Yes.
Most of the accidents are caused because of the different weather conditions that are there.
Yes.
And that is, of course, out of the negligence of the pilots.
Yeah. Most of the time, not all the times.
Most of the times.
Yes.
Okay. Which other type of accident do we have when it comes to aviation?
We have now... Weather. What I will correct on weather is, sometimes you might find yourself up there, and when you're coming, going, say you're from Mombasa coming to Nairobi, then immediately you are descending to Nairobi, you find the weather is bad. That's a natural course. You can't dictate that the weather has to be fine. So, in the event, maybe something bad happens. But most of the time, the Kenyan pilots are well trained to know how to land on such a very extreme weather. Now, back to your question,
mm-hmm.
is one of the causes of accidents, we might have even bird strikes. You know, a bird can strike your propeller and gets into your engine. You know, everything stops. And with that, there's nothing you can do about it. So, usually, that's why we have the bird control unit under the Kenya Airports Authority, who make sure that, even, you know, an airport is a flat place, and when you have rainy seasons, you see so many birds around, so they try and chase them, because we can't kill those birds. We have to be very careful with animals. We can't be killing animals. So they chase the birds. But one of the key major accidents that happen is when you have bird strikes. Reason number three, it can be maybe due to now negligence, the pilot's negligence. You know clearly that where you're flying to is a danger peak. For example, you're flying to a place where terrorists are there, or a runway that is not safe for people to land there or to disembark, and then you land there, then something happens to the aircraft. And by bad luck, the aircraft involves itself in an accident where people lose their life, you see. So that is one among the serious punishable acts the airline will give you. Your license can even be revoked.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll really dwell on the three, because majorly, and maybe others are technical.
Yeah.
Yeah, others are technical. It might be just an aircraft has its own misreadings, or you're reading your own things in the aircraft, giving wrong readings. So, of course, there's nothing more you expect out of that.
Or rather, even the maintenance was not followed according to the standards.
Absolutely.
That are required.
Absolutely.
I understand when you say they are technical. Mm. And I also would want us to also talk about fuel mismanagement.
Yes.
So the way you have to refuel a plane probably before it takes off, then midway the pilot realizes, oh my God, we don't have fuel. So who is to blame in such a scenario?
Most of the time, I will not say matters to deal with fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been a problem right now in aviation, simply because before the aircraft lands, you're being... That you remember that time we talked about the ground school and everything.
Yeah.
So you've gone through a ground school. You know this is the amount of fuel that I require to move from point A to point B, plus reserve fuel. When I mean reserve fuel is in case you are told to hold, or maybe something has happened in the runway, you know you are not going to land, you still be in the air.
Yeah.
So once you calculate that, you have to put in into consideration that you have, you need to have reserve fuel. So matters to deal with fuel,
mm-hmm.
you have you've dwelt with it on ground.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a problem when you're going on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you. And the next thing that I also heard you speak about is insurance.
Yes.
And you specifically mentioned a specific body that is responsible, or rather one that a lot of Kenyan companies choose to use.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, are there any specific insurance requirement that an aviation company should adhere to, especially here in Kenya?
Yes. The Kenya Civil Aviation Authority is very serious on matters to deal with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And the company, the aircraft, all aircraft have their own certificate of insurance. One of the key documents that you find in an aircraft before flying is the certificate of insurance. You
mm-hmm.
need to make sure that aircraft has an insurance. You see, there are other things, there are other technical bits where you check, but
mm-hmm.
if an inspector from the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority comes to your aircraft and they ask you for that certificate, you need to show, because it's always there at the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the documents you have to check is the certificate of insurance, which every single aircraft needs to have their own. It's on a basis on one aircraft.
No, it's not on a basis of a company insurance.
No, it's not a basis on a company insurance. Each aircraft has its own insurance. That's why when you take, you say, when you declare to the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority, you declare, I have 7 aircrafts. And all those 7 aircrafts, they need to be insured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just typically like cars, you know, when you have a car, you have 7, 8 cars, they will all be insured and they have expiry date, so you have to renew them. So that applies even to the aircraft.
So let's say that an accident happens, but it's not such a big accident that would probably make the aircraft probably kill people. So what's the method of reporting when an accident happens, and how quick are we as Kenyans to report to an airplane that has crashed? For example, it's burning. According to the law, what time is that fire extinguisher supposed to be, or rather the fire people are supposed to ensure that the fire is eliminated quickly? What's the timing of even having an ambulance on site and such things?
Okay, thank you. Now, when it comes to matters, accidents and the time of reporting,
mm-hmm.
I'll say from my own experience, what I've experienced is majorly any aircraft I've seen, okay, we have accidents and we have incidents.
Mm-hmm.
So, with an accident, there's loss of life. With an incident, there's no loss of life, but there's damage to property. Now, that aircraft is damaged,
mm-hmm.
but nobody has died.
Yeah.
Everyone has survived. Now, what happens, I think, to you, what you're referring to is the incidents part.
Yeah.
And the airlines have their own mechanism on emergency response. When it comes to emergency response,
mm-hmm.
let's say, for example, an aircraft. I'll give a typical example, and I'll not mention maybe the companies. An aircraft landed badly in Wilson Airport, and I kid you not, under the Kenya Airports Authority, we have the fire, and we have the ambulances, and we have the ground flight safety. They're called the GFS. How I saw them reacting was like it was just a spin of time, and they were there to evacuate people because it was an incident.
Mm-hmm.
It was as I think the highest time they used to reach where the incident had happened was not more than 1 minute. They were already there, and that shows you clearly how aviation industry is well regulated and has the right personnel on it. That's why I'll say it doesn't take so much time to make sure that evacuation has been done,
mm-hmm.
and the fire has responded. And you know, the good thing about it is we usually have stakeholders meetings.
Yeah.
And once you have stakeholders meetings, these are the things we talk and these are the things we discuss, because we have to make sure that the safety of the passenger is also the safety of the crew who work in the airport.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that not a single life is lost. So I'll say they are so quick. I can't put a measure of time, but mm-hmm. immediately anything happens, they are super quick to react towards the emergency. Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. And very briefly, I'd want us to talk about, carriage of cargo when it comes here in Kenya. Yes. We've specifically talked about the passengers, we've talked about the pilots, but we've not talked about cargo in the aspect of, is there a specific kind of law that governs the cargo industry specifically when it comes to aviation?
Mm-hmm.
Not just transporting things from point B to point C.
Yeah. Yes, there is a law, and most of the time you'll find their companies. You see, Kenya Airways transport flowers to the UK. Some companies transport miraa to Somalia or Mogadishu, Somaliland.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see, so they have their own. They are all guided under the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority,
mm-hmm.
but there are requirements that you need to fulfill to make sure that your aircraft its specification can support the transportation of that goods. You see, even transporting a human. That is somebody who's died. You
yeah.
know, there are things that you need to fulfill before you are allowed to take that human into the aircraft. You know, and it shouldn't be seen by other passengers, because some will get so agitated and be like, "Why are we carrying a dead person?" But you see, the other family is waiting on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when it comes to matters to deal with cargo, yes, there are laws that they're governed under the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority. And of course, we have the exports. What are you exporting? What material are you exporting? Now, the bodies that we have in Kenya, let's say you are transporting food, because I know guys who transport food, guys who transport animals, guys who transport any commodity that you're transporting. In Kenya, we have the legal bodies that deal with transportation. Let's, for example, KEFIS. They deal with animals. Yeah, you have to make sure that there's a doctor who has verified that when you're transporting this food, it's safe for consumption, because you can't transport goods and service. Let's say goods which will be a harm, because we are trying to make sure that our aviation industry is well guided. We want passengers and we want tourism to flourish in Kenya. And when we are transporting or when exporting things, when the same applies to us, when imports come, we have a law that we have to make sure those goods are well maintained and they're well kept into the aircraft. And that's why you'll see a cargo flight, there's a way it's designed in a way. It's not the same way as the passenger flight.
Mm-hmm.
So how you even put those goods into that aircraft, how you measure even the weight, because the weight has to be measured, has to be very careful. And with cargo, actually, people enjoy cargo, transporting cargo, but you have to be very extra careful, because you add a small weight into the aircraft and it changes everything into the aircraft.
Great. So we know that we are in the era of, you know, building good. We are all about climate change. We are all about ensuring that whatever it is we're doing
yes.
is not in conflict with the environment.
Yes.
So can we talk about how the aviation industry is causing a lot of negatives in the environment sector, and what specific laws have been put in place to ensure that our environment is taken care of
yes.
in terms of when we are flying our planes for yes. whatever reason?
Absolutely. Now, I'll say previously, in the yesteryears of our fathers, aviation industry was among the highest carbon emitters in the industry, because how the aircrafts were being designed, they were designed in such a way that they didn't take into consideration the carbon emissions that are going to happen. But right now, proudly, I can say aviation is not among the leading
mm-hmm.
carbon emitters here in Kenya, and more so here in the world. Okay, despite the fact that aircrafts travel from point A to point B in different destinations or in different continent, and being the highest contributor of carbon emitter, Kenya has put in place into consideration also under NEMA, the National Environment Management Authority. They have been very serious on aviation industry, and even the industries, the manufacturers of the aircraft, they've been very keen on making sure that carbon emission is to the minimal. We are not saying we are perfect or we've done it so well, but you can see the reduction is very significant. Maybe previously, the yesteryears, carbon emission was at 76%. I can proudly say right now we are at maybe 30 or 25%, which is at low, but we haven't really worked on the 25% to make sure that we have a clean environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll say that's a work in progress, because we also have to emit in a way because of how the aircraft has been made and putting into consideration the fuel type, because at some point on air, we have to kind of take off some fuel, because you know we reduce a bit of fuel so that when you land when the aircraft is a bit light.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, we contribute. I will not deny the fact that we do contribute, but it's not to the larger extent as companies do or dispose their carbon.
Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of effort to ensure that the way you contribute is minimal, like it's getting smaller and smaller, it's getting smaller and smaller.
Absolutely.
So can we also talk about the applicable employment regime that we have in the aviation industry?
Yes.
And the reason why I'm asking this question is because, again, like 20, 30 years ago, for you to be employed in the aviation industry, especially as an air hostess, as a cabin crew, there was a lot of discrimination. Sometimes even the ladies were required to be of a certain
height,
body standard, height, yeah, even skin color.
Absolutely.
And there was also an issue of the fact that one cannot be employed if they have HIV, even if they've done all their trainings. So as of now, what's the applicable employment regime that we have here in Kenya, and what specific implication does it have for the operators that are in the aviation industry?
Okay. You know, we have the Labor Relations Act, which I think cuts across all companies that are within the Kenyan jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But again, you see, the reason why we're very concerned about aviation is, for example, the height.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be short, super short, and you want to be a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that distance that you are able to see. How far can you see? Even how the seats are being made. I will not say it's discriminatory, but again, we have to look at it on a higher scale. And when I mean the higher scale is because we are majorly in aviation, it's all about sight, seeing. How far can you see? Can you see another aircraft? Because you can't be short and you tell me you're going to be looking out if there's an aircraft following you on your back, or you have to keep a distance when passing another aircraft. How will you see it? You see. But as I will say, we've really worked so hard, because the government of Kenya has been very, very supportive on matters to deal with labor relations in the aviation industry. And that's the reason why you see aviation industry right now, it's multi-sectoral. We have all these other people working. Guys are allowed to have unions in the aviation industry. For example, KAPLA, the Kenya Airline Pilots Association, you see, they air their own grievances. When they want to strike, they give a 1 week notice. You see, they've been allowed to do that. Even the workers who provide services in the aviation industry, they have their own organization. Even KOTU has been very keen on employment in matters to deal with aviation. But you see, aviation is very sensitive in the sense that any person you employ into that industry has to have the right qualification. You can't just employ anyone. And that's why the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority and the Kenya Airports Authority, they've been working hand in hand to make sure that anybody who wants to work in an airport or in an airline, they're well qualified. You might not be qualified, but you can be trained to be aware of the current crisis or the current needs the aviation wants, you see. So, yes, the requirements will still be there. Because if you want to become a pilot, you've gone through the medical test. The medical test says, without this, you can't do this. Without this, you can't do this. Even the cabin crew. By the way, the cabin crew usually even go there for the medical test. Yeah, it's not like they have left. They've been left out.
Yeah,
they are undergoing the medical test. But you know, now the discrimination bit of you need to be this height, you need to be the, have such waistline or no, such kind of things were way long eliminated. So it's about how well can you work.
Yeah, it's about what do you bring to the table.
Absolutely.
And what skills have you gathered.
Yes.
So now that we've talked about employment, as we conclude, the last thing that I would want us to talk about is having someone who has already been employed in the airport industry for like almost 30, 40 years.
Yes.
And then now they get a disease or a defect because of the fact that they've been working there for a very long time.
Yes.
Let's talk about deafness. You know, there's research that shows that most of the pilots, when they get to a certain point, they become deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it also transitions to the kind of kids that they get. You find that this man has kids who are deaf, like almost three.
Yes.
So what does the airline do, or what does the company, what has the company put in place to ensure that if you suffer from anything that is from you working there, you're either compensated or well taken care of as you age? Because, you know, you, and then again, I'd also want us to know what age, what's the final age limit of you becoming a pilot as well?
Okay. Thank you so much. I think I'll start with the age part, because when it reaches when you're 65, that is the age limit. You just have to
retire.
Yeah, you just have to clear your books and just go home and relax. Or maybe given another department where you can now give you experience. Your experience now comes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because I've seen pilots who've retired and they've come back to the industry and they're now offering their services into other departments, which suits them best.
Yeah.
Now, but when it comes to matters, deafness, matters, you know, in the aviation, and I think we are well guided by the Work Injury Benefit Act, because for you to work in an aviation industry, you're provided the EMFs, you're provided the aprons, you're provided the safety boots. You go through a training, a serious, thorough training, before you're given that letter of contract that this is what you're expected to do. So you cannot just come out of nowhere and say, I was not trained. Because even during the indoctrination, we have the indoctrination trainings where you are told, this is what we expect from you, this is what you're going to do, this is your job station, and this is your job description.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So once that is done, then you have to sign that form. Because there are certain forms that you seriously need to sign before now you're allowed by the company. You know, they can't take... When let's say for example you are an engineer, Wanjiku is an engineer, you know clearly you need to have the muffs, you need to have the safety boot, you need to have the overall. And let's say by accident something falls into your leg and you are wearing rubber shoes.
Yeah.
Who are you going to blame?
Yourself.
You see. Now it calls for now your situational awareness. You need to understand, where am I working? And what is my work? And you know clearly, for example, you can see an engine is running and you're walking towards it. What do you expect out of it? And maybe it just cuts one of your hands. You see. So aviation industry has been very, very keen on making sure that people are well trained. They know what work they are supposed to do, so that at any given time we don't have any accident or any incident. I'll say maybe previously such kind of cases were there, and they were adjudicated about it. But currently, where I'm standing and where I'm sitting, I don't foresee such kind of a scenario whereby somebody will just walk into a court and say, "This company neglected my health. They've pushed me into the limit. They've made me suffer because I can't hear. I can't do this." But clearly, you know, these safety precautions, because we have a safety company in all airlines. Safety company is very essential. These are the kind of things they handle. Even a passenger just tripping from the stairs of the aircraft, you know, it has to be recorded, because the next time it does that to a pregnant woman, what happens?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm saying safety is very key. It's a very, if there's anything we spearhead, and if there's anything we advocate for, is safety. Yeah.
Great. Again, thank you so much.
You're
we
most
have
welcome.
Really learned a lot from you. And again, I feel like there is need of having the aviation industry, of course, here in Kenya, because it has really boosted our trade, our tourism, and of course, which are the key elements here in Kenya. So again, guys, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. And but for now, that is going to be it from us. See you next time. Bye.
Music Podcasts, the home of podcasts in Kenya.